Sovereign Christ Bible Fellowship Church of Columbus, Indiana is pleased to present the marrow of the message. We continue our series in 2 Samuel by finishing out chapter 19. We'll start at the last half of verse 8, go through chapter 19, verse 40. I would encourage you to read this section of scripture before listening further. The title of the message is Behold the Better King. I love this chapter. Now, David's actions in chapter 19 mirror those of Christ and his manner of ruling with mercy and compassion. But what we have to keep in mind, as wonderful as it will be to see David be merciful and compassionate and establishing his kingdom policy of mercy and compassion, our Lord Jesus is an even better king than David. My goal is that you and I would behold the even better King Jesus and his unfailing kingdom policy of mercy toward repentant sinners. This is good news for us today. Good news. In our scripture passage, we see David mirror Christ in many different ways. And it's amazing because here David is returning to the throne after he was betrayed. Everyone wondered, how is David going to conduct himself now that he's returned to being the sovereign king of Israel? They had to wonder that. Those, especially those that had joined sides with Absalom, what's going to happen to us? David now is free to exercise his sovereign rights as king. And you know it as well as I know it. These people that we read about in chapter 19, wondering why they hadn't approached David about having him returned, were feeling guilt. They had sinned against him. What were they to do? What would David do? Would David be gracious, or would he be condemning them? Would they be cut off, or would they be restored? With one word, David could have their heads cut off. But David behaves in a manner glorifying to God. And as we watch David's response, if we watch carefully and if we sincerely look hard, we'll see what is typical of Christ and his response toward repentant sinners. And you and I can be greatly encouraged. David was merciful. He was merciful. But there's an even better king than David. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. And Christ Jesus, our Lord, the even better king, brings better news to rebels. Even better news than David did to those who rebelled against him. Christ brings a message that mercy and grace cascade from his throne upon those who repent. Cascade. And the Lord Jesus has power to pour out grace and mercy, whereas David could make good efforts. Christ can do it. In verses 8 through 15, the wonder of wonders is David won the hearts of the men of Judah. Now, if you remember, it was first the men of Israel that were questioning what they ought to do. Why have we said nothing about bringing David back to be our king? But David heard of this, and he, instead of going to the men of Israel, went to the men of Judah. Now, the men of Israel and of Judah were both embarrassed. All were embarrassed. All were afraid. And their primary concern at this point in time, because Absalom was dead, and they had anointed Absalom to be their king in place of David, how were they going to get right with David? It's the same for sinners. We've offended God as human beings. You and I have offended God. We've rebelled against him. What can we do to get right with God? In verse 10, we see that basically Israel did nothing. So why do you say nothing about bringing the king back? They had done nothing up to this point. They hadn't approached David. They hadn't sent a messenger for David to come back. Why? Because they knew it was futile. It was risky. And it was futile. I think this mirrors our own futility in being reconciled to God. We cannot reconcile ourselves to God. No more than Israel could be reconciled to David. So here's what happened, and this is what makes the good news great. We see David takes the initiative. He took the initiative to take that step toward reconciliation. His initiative that he took was in response to some things he had heard, and so he knew it was time to try to reconcile his people to himself. Now, Jesus came to save his people. Just as David went to his people, to the tribe of Judah, he went to his own flesh and blood, his own kinfolk, so to speak. Not that Israel was not his brothers, but he came from the tribe of Judah. Now, Jesus came to save his people, and the Bible tells us first for the Jew, his people. He was born in Israel, and he himself was a Jew. And David went to his people first, just as the Lord Jesus went to his people first, and David won their hearts over. The difference is, David acted in response to what he had heard. Jesus acted in response when he came to the will of God the Father. Now, David demonstrates his sincerity and his earnestness in wanting to be reconciled and to prove that he was holding nothing against them, that he was indeed providing mercy, because the first thing he does is promises them that Amasa would be the new commander in place of Joab. Now, you have to remember, these rebel leaders of Judah see the policy of David to pardon and pardon rebels completely, and they see the sincerity of it as they make Amasa is his name, the commander of his army. The one who had been the rebel commander, the one that had fought hardest against David, now is the one who leads David's army. What a proof of pardon. What a proof of sincerity, of good will toward sinners. Well, we sing the song oftentimes, grace greater than all our sins. We see David's grace was greater than the combination of all the sins of the rebels. And David moves to pardon Amasa though Amasa didn't know it. Amasa didn't know what David's intention was, but David moved to pardon Amasa. Our even better King, Jesus, shows the grace of God by initiating restoration and reconciliation with sinners. And if you've come to faith in Christ, know this, you have come to Him, having been reconciled through faith in His blood, as God took the initiative to restore and reconcile. The Bible says our situation was worse than those of the Israelites and the men of Judah. Colossians 2:13 says we were dead to God. But while we were dead to God, God acted. 2:13 says this, when you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave all your sins. Our situation was so bad, even worse than the fact that the men of Judah and Israel had been alienated from David. We have been alienated from God through our sinfulness. The Bible tells us in Romans 8:7, it's so bad that the sinful mind is enmity with God. That's unreconcilable. We're alienated from God, but we're no longer alienated from God, not because we could do anything about it, but because God Himself took the initiative. Colossians chapter 1, verses 21 through 23. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. But now He has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in His sight, without blemish and free from accusation, if you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel. It was God who moved to reconcile us when we're alienated from Him. We were blinded by the devil, sold as slaves to sin, as we learned from other scriptures. We were in rebellion against Him. We were unwilling and unable to have peace with God. But God moved. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 12 through 13 spell it out so clearly. Paul writes, remember, at one time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near through the blood of Christ. Through the blood of the even better King. David could only offer peace. Christ became our peace with God through His blood that was shed on our behalf. That is the good news, and this is why Jesus is the even better King. So David sends messengers in order to enact this, in order to convey the sincerity he has toward the men of Judah and Israel. We see it in verse 11. King David sent this message to Zadok and Abiathar the priest, and the message is mentioned there. But think about it. These men are sent out to bring good news to the men of Judah, to share and to reveal to them the king's desire to reconcile with them. Those who had been rebels against him now are being sought by the even better, by David. And so it is, as the Lord Jesus Christ sends out his messengers into the world. The message we send now, that we're sent to take into the world, is that the even better King Jesus desires to reconcile with people all over the world, from every nation and every tongue, every tribe, every kindred. This is the message we are to take to the nations. 2 Corinthians 5:19 and 20 says, as Paul saw himself as this ambassador, he says, God is reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. Be reconciled to God. Oh, if we could just think about communicating that message in this world where there's so much upheaval and Christians are being marginalized and in so many respects, it's been because we have been so misguided in our message to the world. The message of Christ is not about coats and shoes and food. It is about being reconciled to God. We may use coats and food and shoes as a means to minister mercy and relief to people, but that's not the height of the message. The message is this: be reconciled to God. And what a lovely, beautiful, generous offer it is to a dying world. And those who have been called by God, known by Him before the foundation of the world, will hear and will come. David's generous offer of reconciliation required faith on the part of the men of Judah. It wasn't as though David just made the offer and now they were reconciled. The men of Judah and Israel could have easily have turned away and not believed it. And they could have died in their unbelief. But David offered it, reconciliation, and the men believed. Now here's what's interesting about this. David made the offer. He sent the message. He proved his sincerity. He told of the terms. His gracious offering of mercy and restoration was aimed at arousing faith. Faith in them to trust the Lord, to trust David, to trust him enough to turn to him. The even better King Jesus has provided a gracious and generous call to reconciliation, and the message is aimed at moving reluctant rebels to come in faith and trust Him. That the King of heaven and earth offers there to be reconciliation and restoration, and the message is to be preached in a manner to sinners that they could know that they are in dire straits, but aiming it in such a way to arouse faith, should the Holy Spirit be pleased to plant faith in their hearts. The even better King Jesus does not fail. All He came to save will come. And the wonder of it is, for those who trust in Him, according to the grace of God, through the working of the Spirit, those who come in faith, calling upon the Lord, will be forgiven and restored. For Israel and Judah, the reproach that stood against them was removed. The reproach of their rebellion. And when they responded to David in faith, David didn't hold it over their heads. He didn't say to them at that time, "Shame on you, shame on you." They were already convicted of their sin and of their reproach. So it is with anyone who comes to God through faith in Jesus Christ, the reproach is removed. God doesn't hold it over your head. Think of the very most awful thing you can think of that you say to yourself, "There's no way God can forgive that. There's no way God can let it go." Friends, Christ received your most embarrassing, most awful sin against God upon himself. You may even say, what reproach? For Judah and Israel, the reproach they had, the embarrassment they had, was that they followed Absalom. Absalom was not God's anointed king. David was. They, instead of obeying God and following David, turned away from God's will and God's command. And it brought reproach upon them when David comes back and takes the throne. But the wonder of it is, for you and for me, when it comes to our sin and our reproach, is that often you and I are infatuated with some kind of Absalom. And we turn away from God. We turn away from God's will and God's command, and we're captivated by something that seems more attractive than this quiet God. A God we can't see, a God we can't feel, and a God we can't touch. And we pursue that which we can see, which we can feel, which we can touch. We're called to trust in the Lord Jesus. Our Lord Jesus is God's anointed. He is God's gift for us, for our fullness and our satisfaction, for our pleasure. And so often we turn away from him regularly, following an Absalom, and that is our reproach. But friends, Christ took that reproach upon himself. God didn't turn away from us. God didn't disown us. He didn't wash his hands of us. David didn't wash his hands of his people. David showed something of God's patience and God's willingness to forgive and restore. And if that's true of David, how much more for the even better King Jesus? And that is good news for us. Do you feel alienated from God? Do you feel distant? Are you being made aware even now of the reproach of your sin? Do you feel like you've ruined your relationship with God and that you've made a mess of everything? The good news is, as David came to the people of Judah and Israel, God comes to you. Zechariah 1:3 says, "Return to me, says the Lord, and I will return to you." I think what we need to take away from this is God speaking it. He is near. The Lord speaks to you right now. Return to me, and I will return to you. And he, Christ Jesus, the even better King, is not far from you. He is near. The call is to repent. Now the men of Judah hurried to Gilgal to meet the king, we're told in verse 15. The question I have for you is, where can you meet the even better King Jesus? You come to the cross of Christ. I like how the old theologians looked at this, and they saw the men rushing to Gilgal where they could meet David, and they said, our place to go is to Golgotha, to the cross of Christ by faith. There at the cross of Christ, you'll see your reproach removed. It's been taken away and put on him. There you look and see a suffering Christ who bore your sin and your reproach and literally took it away from you. Come to him now and be clean through faith. As the men of Judah came to meet the king, there were many others from Judah, or not from Judah, who came to meet David as well. News had traveled around, and now we have not only the men of Judah, but others who were estranged from David. They came to meet him. Isn't that how it is, and it's supposed to be? Good news leaks out. How often When word gets out that God's gospel is good news of His saving grace, the offer of pardon, the removal of guilt and forgiveness of sins, the removal of reproach and shame, when news leaks out, people come. Well, here we have Ziba and Shimei. Shimei and Ziba come to him. Now, Shimei was of the tribe of Benjamin, and one of the brothers in our church, Jeff Evans, said he's the Ernest T. Bass of the Old Testament. He's the one that threw rocks and stones and dirt at David. But he heard the king is coming, and he knew what he had done. He knew it. It was in his face, and judgment was imminent. And so what did he do? He fled also to Gilgal to meet with the king, and he came, and he fell face down, confessing his sin before David. Now, Abishai, David's companion, he was a guard of his, I think. He didn't believe that Shimei was sincere. And David rebuked Abishai, and he didn't like Abishai's angry and cynical attitude. In fact, David called him a Satan. He called him a Satan. Look what he says in verse 22. What have I in common with you, you sons of Zeruiah? This day you have become my Satan, my adversary, my Satan. Satan in the Hebrew. Satan in the Hebrew. Adversaries. Should anyone be put to death in Israel today? David was enacting his kingdom policy of mercy and compassion, not of judgment. Oh, listen to me. David was certain. He said, I don't have to push, bully my way around. Do I not know that I am the king of Israel? He didn't need to show his strength, but he did demonstrate mercy. And he made it clear that in his kingdom, mercy would be the policy. And it's amazing that David pardoned Shimei. And how much more when the even better King Jesus takes the initiative in giving pardon to sinners who rebelled against him? That would be you, and that would be me. David was merciful also toward Ziba after all that Ziba had done in swindling Mephibosheth. And then finally, David blessed Barzillai. Now Barzillai had been one who took care of David when David was in Mahanaim, on the other side of the Jordan River. And David wanted to reward Barzillai. Barzillai had willingly and cheerfully served David, and David felt a kinship with him. Come with me. Come back to Jerusalem, and I'll provide for you. David did, though, this offer because of his gratitude for all that he had done. We're told in Hebrews chapter 6 that the Lord is not unjust. He will not forget the love you've shown him as you've cared for the saints. He will not forget. And I think this is what we see in Barzillai. David had not forgotten him. But Barzillai said, I cannot go. I'm too old. And so his son Kimham was given the honor of being the one David would take with him back to Jerusalem and bless. In fact, 400 years later, it's recorded in Jeremiah 41:17 that Kimham had indeed received land near Bethlehem. How much more the even better king? Even if you are doing your reasonable duty, he remembers even a cup of cold water. Jesus said, if you have done for the least of these, you've done it unto me. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into your master's happiness. Oh, yes, David was sinful, as we've seen in previous passages, but in this instance, he mirrors Christ's mercy and blessing in so many wonderful ways. And if you come to Christ, the sinless sovereign king, you will receive incomparable mercy from an incomparable God. Come to Him who is ready, eager, and willing to reconcile, to restore, and renew you even now. If you are repentant, and as the men of Judah rushed to Gilgal, I would encourage you to rush to Golgotha, to the cross of Jesus Christ, and cast all your sin upon Him by faith. Receive forgiveness of sins. Having been justified through faith, you will live with Him forever and ever and ever. He who is the risen Christ, the even better King, King Jesus. May the Lord bless you and keep you.